The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. In the Megillas Esther, we read as follows. Vayhi bimei Achashverosh. It was during the days of Achashverosh. Who was Achashverosh? Rashi gives us a word of background. Melech Paras Hoya, he was the king of Persia. Shemolach Tachas Kadesh, who reigned after Kodesh. Kodesh was known as Cyrus the Great. The Seif Shiv Mishonah Shel Golos Bavel, at the end of the 70 years of the exile from Bavel. To give us a further word of background, the sages tell us that when Klal Yisrael were, when Hashem came to Avram Avinu and told him that your sons will be enslaved to a nation for 400 years, and this was referring to Mitzrayim, to Egypt, he also told Avram that after they come out of Egypt and they receive the Torah, there will be another four major exiles and persecutions. And these are known as the Dalet Malchios, the four empires, mighty empires, that will stand up and try to destroy Israel and what they stand for. The first of those empires was Bavel, Reishis Mamlachtoi. And under the king of Nebuchadnezzar, they came into Eretz Yisrael. This was many, many years after Yeshua conquered the land, and after David Ushlema Melech built the Beis HaMikdash. Many, many years later, Nebuchadnezzar came. He destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, exiled and enslaved the people. This Golus, that exile, was to last 70 years. During the period of that exile, Nebuchadnezzar was defeated by Dayovash Horishai. This was Darius the first. He was a king of Persia. And after him reigned Koresh, who was Cyrus. And then Achashverosh. Achashverosh, therefore, was the king of Persia, but he expanded the empire tremendously, where it became known as Modai Uparas, the king of the Median Persian Empire. And this is how the Jews ended up under Achashverosh, even though this began as Golus Bavel, the exile of Bavel. Then it states, who Achashverosh? This is the Achashverosh. What does it mean, who Achashverosh? This is the Achashverosh. So it already stated, Vahibim Achashverosh. It was during the days of Achashverosh. So Rashi brings from the Gemara in Megillah Daf Yud Aleph, Hu Berishei Mitchilosei Ve'atzofo. This was the same Achashverosh who was a Rosh, who was a very evil man in the beginning and a very evil man in the end. What is this telling us? Because from the simple sense of the Megillah, Ahasuerus might appear to be a great fool, but maybe not such a rosho. He appears to be that he was misled. This is not true. He was almost as great as a rosho as Haman. Not quite the same. Haman was the one who initiated the plan to destroy all of the Jews. He influenced Ahasuerus. He enticed him. But nevertheless, Ahasuerus was the man who was prepared to sell out a complete nation. And the reason why the Megillah has to tell us this, and the reason why this was not written more explicitly, because even after the great Yeshua, the salvation of Purim, the Gemara says, Edain abde Ahasuerus aban. They were still subjects to Ahasuerus. So they had to be careful what they wrote. But this is to teach us that the Megillah is written at two planes. It's written at one plane, which is a more of a simple sense. And in this, there is no impression left whatsoever of anything insulting to the king. But it's full of ramos. It's full of very, very subtle hints and nister, very concealed facts, which the Chazal, the sages, knew how to darshan, how to extract, telling us what the real story was. And that's why the Masechet Megillah and the Midrashim darshan, they expound almost every word in the Megillah Esther. Then it states further. Hu Ahasuerus ha-melech me-hodu ve'ad Kush, sheva ve'esrim u'me'a medina. This was the king Ahasuerus who ruled from Hod until Kush, India, to Africa, 127 provinces. And this the Gemara explains. This was called Elam Kule. Ahasuerus expanded the kingdom so far as it reigned over the entire world. Then the Gemara tells us further. This was not so easy. Gimel Malkei, this is a Gemara in Yud Aleph, Seif Amar Aleph, Amar Beis. Gimel Malkei Bekipo. There were only three kings in history, in all of history, that reigned over the Kippah. Rashi says, Tachas Kol Kippah Sarakia, that reigned over the entire globe. Achav, Nebuchadnezzar, and Ahasuerus. So he was one of the three kings that reigned over the entire world. You could imagine what his power was and what his wealth was. The Gemara there asks the Kasha. It says, what about Shlem HaMelech? King Solomon, he also reigned over the entire world. The Gemara, in its second answer, says Shlem HaMelech was different. Because Shomolach gam betachtenim v'gam be'aljenim. The others only reigned over the world as we know it. Shlem HaMelech reigned over this world and even upper worlds. As it states in Divrei HaYomim, Vayeshuv Shlema al kisei Hashem. Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, sat on the throne of the Almighty. And the Gemara goes through more questions and answers in regards to this. Tesis brings up the question of Alexander Mukdam, the great Alexander the Great. And they go into this. But these were the three and Shlomo HaMelech. What was the reason that King Solomon was able to reign both over this world and the higher worlds? And that the Maralmi Prague explains as follows. Because Shlem HaMelech, King Solomon reigned over Yisrael. And Yisrael is not the same when you reign over another nation. Yisrael is the ultimate, is the Shlemus of this world and the next world. Other nations live basically in this world. Israel, from Yaakov Avinu, he had his feet in this world, but his head in the next world. So therefore, to be a king of Israel, you have to be able to reign over both worlds. Shlema HaMelech came to the ultimate kingship of Israel. He inherited this from his father David, but he exceeded his father David. Because during the time of David HaMelech, the Beis HaMikdash was not yet built. So the world was chosar. The world and Israel were not complete yet. But during the reign of Shlomo, and the Beis HaMikdash was built, so Israel came into their perfection. They brought also the world unto high, very, very high levels. So for Shlomo HaMelech to be their king, he had to reign over both worlds. And that's why it states, Vayeshev Shlomo al Kise Hashem. He didn't sit on a king's throne. He didn't sit on his throne. He ruled from the Almighty's throne. So that's why the Gemara says he was in a class by himself. We'll be speaking in a minute a little more about that. Then the Megillah continues. Bayomi Mahem, in those days, Kishemes Amelach Achashverosh, as the king of Achashverosh was about sitting. Kishemes means, doesn't mean Shevesh Yoshav, he doesn't say it's sitting. Kimei, he was like he was sitting, Al Kisei Malchusei, on his throne of kingdom, Asher B'Shushan Abira, which was in Shushan, the capital, Bishnah Shleish L'molchei, and it was the third year of his reign. Now, these psukim need explanation from beginning to end. If anyone studies this, it's either repetition or it's totally unnecessary. It states, in those days, it starts by Hibimei Achashverosh. It states during the days of Achashverosh. So what does it tell us in those days? And then it says, Kishevus. He was as if he was sitting. He was either sitting or not. And then it seems to say that then he sat on the throne. Well, it's already the third year of his kingship. What did he do till now? And then it states, Kishevas HaMelech Achashverosh al Kisei Malchusei, he sat on the throne of his kingship. Where should he sit? Every king sits on the throne of his kingship. And then further, this is a question that the Vilna Gaon asks. He says, well, where does Shushan come in here? Shushan was not the king's capital. The king's capital actually was in Bavel. That was always the capital. He says, so why all of a sudden Shushan? The explanation to this is built on Medrash Rabbah, which goes into this, and the Vilna Gaon elaborates on this, and the Maral Miprag. And to summarize what comes out is as follows. When Nebuchadnezzar went, as we mentioned before, and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, he took, it states, all of the wealth of Israel. Now, the wealth of Israel was both material wealth, but he was interested in something even more valuable than the material wealth. He took the Klei HaMikdash, the very, very special vessels and ornaments and furnishings of the Beis HaMikdash. He took the big de kohuna, the special garments of the kahanim. And one of the prizes was the special throne of Shlomo HaMelech, of King Solomon. King Solomon was not only this, that he knew he was sitting on the Kisei Hashem, the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he had built, with his enormous wisdom, he had built with his enormous wisdom a throne which resembled the spiritual throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, except he spilt it physically in this world. And there are many Midrashei Chazal on that, that when he used to ascend the throne, it was surrounded by the Chayos HaKadosh, the beasts of the wild, and they would roar and so forth. So this is what Nebuchadnezzar was interested in. So he captured the throne. And he brought it down to Babel with him, to Babylonia. Incidentally, Babel is in the area of Iraq. One of the main cities in Babel was Baghdad. And that's an old, old city. Rashi, who lived over 1,000 years ago, refers to it as it's an old, old city yet. While Shushan was a city, and it still exists, but it has a little different name in what was known as Persia, but it was as in Iran. So he brought it down to Babel, but he didn't sit on it. I'm not sure, it's not clear if he didn't sit on it because he was afraid, or he didn't dare to, or he wasn't able to, but he didn't. When Dayovash later on, as we mentioned, Dayovash Arishan, when he defeated Nebuchadnezzar and took over the Malchus, he went and he captured the throne and he brought it to Modai, brought it to Persia, and also didn't sit on it. When Ahasuerus became the king, and then Ahasuerus expanded the kingship to 127 medinas, to the entire world, Ahasuerus now said, I am equal or better than Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon. And he wanted to make his kingship the same or better as Solomon. So he decided he will sit on this throne. He tried, he wasn't able to. I'm not sure why, but he wasn't able to. It could have been that all of the wild beasts that were surrounding it threatened to devour him if he would come near it. So he couldn't. Hevi Chatumi Mimitzrayim. Egypt was well known for its sorcery and all of its great magicians and astrologers and so forth. He sent down to Egypt to bring up their wise and to see if they could do something. Couldn't. So he instructed them to make another throne, but that should be exactly like King Solomon's. They worked on it, but they were also unsuccessful. Finally, they made another throne, but it resembled a bit King Solomon's, but it was not the same. But a strange thing happened. That throne, they were only successful in building in Shushan HaBira, in the city of Shushan. So that's where they built it, and that was the throne he decided to use. It was second best. It wasn't King Solomon's, it wasn't exactly like his, but it was perhaps close. But he wanted to move it to Babel, but it wouldn't move. It was too big and heavy, and maybe there was other reasons, they couldn't move it. So he decided to move his palace and his Mokam Malchus, his capital, to Shushan. That's how he came to Shushan HaBira. Now that's what the Pasuk is telling us. It states, Bayomi Mahem, in those days, Kisheva Samalach Ahasuerush, as the king was trying to sit and ascend a throne al kisei malchusei. And we're talking here of the kisei malchusei, the throne of Shlema Melech, asher b'shushan habira, which was in Shushan habira because they couldn't take it any other place. And that's the only place where they built one that was any similarity. And Bishna Shleish Lemolchai, and this was only in the third year, because for 3 years he was working on this. And now he decided, all right, this will be his throne, and this will be in Shushan. Then it goes on to tell us what he did. He made a mishta, and so forth. He made a party, and so on. Now the Vilna Gaon asks a question. He says, why is it? It must have been Mishamayim from heaven that they could only build it in Shushan and then they couldn't move it from Shushan. Why was that a decree from heaven? The answer is as follows. Because Mordechai and Esther had already moved to Shushan. They were living there. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted them to be in close proximity of the king and his palace in order to destroy Haman's decree when it would come up a number of years later. So therefore, he was Masavev, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who he doesn't only read the history and he doesn't only record the history, he makes the history. So he manipulated that Ahasuerus, this mighty king of the entire world, will have to move his mighty capital to Shushan Habira. The Vilna Gaon says on this, he says, now we can understand the Gemara. Because the Gemara tells us that Chayev Likrei Kula. When it comes to reading the Megillah Esther, one is obligated on Purim. One is obligated to read the entire Megillah. What's it telling us? I mean, why shouldn't we? When we read anything else, we have to read it all. No, he says. Really, we shouldn't read this. He says, what do we have to know about Ahasuerus for? What do we have to know about his Maisim, his kingship? How many years he reigned here, where he reigned, what he reigned. What is this, a lesson in history? The history of all of the nations of the world is the history of their politics and their wars. Go to any library. Every nation. That's their major history. That this king defeated that one, and that one defeated this one, this king defeated this country, and so forth and so on. The fact is, the sages refer to world history as the history of ha'umais u'milchamei sehem, the nations and the wars. It's an unending war. So why is it a mitzvah for us to know about these things? It's a mitzvah for us to know about the miracle, the Yeshua, the salvation of a Klal Yisrael from Haman. But what do we have to know about these things? So the Chazal say, no. Tzorach Likra is Kula. Every word you have to read. Because in every word is the Sipur HaNes, is the telling over of the great miracle, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu manipulated all of this from the beginning to the end. Where we see he even manipulated that the world should have a new capital because of this. Chofetz Chaim, zichrono livracha, used to say on any world news, he would say, I want to know why this is being done in reference to Klal Yisrael. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu manipulates history for the sake of the world. And it's Israel is the tikkun ha'olam, they're the leaders in perfection of the world, that has to have something to do with them. He says, this is what he used to say, this is what I want to know. The Megillah then goes on to tell us the story of the various parties and feasts that Ahasuerus made, and to show off all of his wealth, he invited all of the princes and nobilities from all of his 127 provinces, Medinas. And then it tells us the story of Vashti, of his queen, and how they put her to death. Then it tells us about how he held a beauty contest for a new queen, and Esther was chosen. And then it tells us how Mordechai became elevated, and he would be Yeshiv B'Shar HaMelech, he would be close to the gates of the king, and he found out of the plot of Seresh, Bigson and Seresh, two of the servants of the king that wanted to kill him. Incidentally, the Gemara says, in the Medrash, why did these two want to kill him? They said that since this fool, became the king, we have no time even to sleep anymore. He's constantly so busy making these big feasts and these big parties and showing off all of his wealth to everybody, we haven't had any sleep in weeks and months. We must get rid of him. Okay. And then how Mordechai came in and saved the day, where he exposed the plot. Then it states, and this incidentally, this plot was going to play a key role in the Yeshua, in the salvation of Klal Yisrael, because this brought Mordechai even higher in the eyes of the king. And this was a great psychological blow to Haman. Then in Perek Gimel it states, Achar advarim ha'ela, after these things took place, Gidl HaMelech HaHashverosh es Haman ben Hamdos HaGogi v'Inasehu. The king raised up Haman, the son of Hamdos, who was from Agog, that's from Amalek, Mayosem es Kisai me'al kol hasorim asheritai. And he gave Haman a position higher than all of the nobility, all of the princes, all of the royalty of all of the 127 provinces. The Vilna Gaon asks the question, what does it mean, achar hadvorim ha'ela, after these things? He says, this doesn't work out. It doesn't make sense. Because Esther was crowned Mishnah Shevel Malchusei, the seventh year of his reign. And the episode of Bigson and Seresh, these two servants that tried to assassinate the king, took place at the same time. And Haman was raised up and promoted in the 12th year. So there's a 5-year period. So what does it mean, achar advarim ha'ela, after these things? 5 years since the last episode. So he says, this is why the Gemara comes along and darshins and expounds. Amar Rava, Gemara Daf Yud Gimel Lamed Beis. Amar Rava, Achar Shebora Hakadosh Baruch Hu Refuah LeMakeh. Means Achar Advarim Ha'ela doesn't mean the next episode, right away. Now, the Achar, the afterwards, is referring to something else. Now that Hakadosh Baruch Hu has set the stage for the Hatzolah, for the salvation of Yisrael, now we can start, or now he will allow Haman to start being Seirer, the persecution of Israel. Achar advarim ha'ela, since we've done all of this now, we've manipulated history where the capital of the entire world is moved from Babel to Shushan, because Mordechai and Esther were there. We've manipulated world history that they should kill Vashti, who was the queen of the king of the entire world. We've manipulated history where Esther should be chosen the queen of the entire world. And now Mordechai was raised up. We've manipulated history that there should be a plot to assassinate the most powerful king in the world, and Mordechai would be the one who would expose it. Now we can allow Haman to go ahead with his plan. Acher hadvarim ele. This is what the Gemara explains. Why? Domer Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish said, "Ein Hakadosh Baruch Hu may be makel Yisrael el in kein beire lehem refuah tchila." Kodesh Baruch Hu does not bring a tzora, a persecution to Yisrael, unless he's created the refuah, the remedy first. Now it's interesting because the Gemara says further. Aval umes ha'olam, when it comes to the nations of the world, ain't okay. It's not like that. Maka eson bi'achakach beidelehem refuah. When it comes to the nations of the world, Kodesh Baruch Hu strikes them first, then he'll find a remedy for it. When it comes to Israel, he will not do anything to them until first he has created the refuah, the remedy. Then he will bring the makkah, then he will bring the persecution. What, why? The Baral explains as follows. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings his fist down on the nations of the world, and this is when he's angry, and this is when they're deservant, or more than deservant, he does it to destroy them. The purpose is to destroy them. Later, maybe they'll do some tshuva, maybe he'll have rachmonis, see, he'll create a remedy for it. So first he brings the makkah, and then the refuah. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings his fist against Israel, doesn't do it to destroy them. Can't destroy Israel. Because if he destroys Israel, he destroys the world. Because when he created the world, Bereishis Bara Elokim Bishvil Yisrael Bara Yisrael. He said, I'm not creating this world. It should be a world of water, a world of trees, a world of animals. I'm creating this world for its spiritual means, its spiritual end, for what it can elevate itself to. He says, I don't need a world which is basically interested only in eating and drinking and killing each other. And therefore, he said there could be no world without Torah, without the mitzvahs, the Taryag mitzvahs. And when he came to all of the nations of the world, they refused to accept the 613 mitzvahs. He came to Israel, they said, we will accept it. No problem. So therefore, Bishvil Yisrael Borel, it was only because of Israel that the world can have an ultimate objective. So how can he destroy Israel? Then he'd have to destroy the whole world. And this is what he said. If Klal Yisrael would not accept it, then he'll return the world to what it was before creation. So when he brings his fist down on Israel, it's not to destroy them, but it's to elevate them, to be metaher, to purify them, and to bring them to higher levels, which they will come to after the refuah. So the whole purpose of the makkah is the refuah. And since the whole purpose of the makkah is the refuah, he has to create the refuah first. The objective of the makkah, objective of the rebuke, when it comes to other nations of the world, that's because he's angry at them. He wants them out of the way. Later on, he might have a change of mind, might have some rachmonis, maybe they'll do a little tshuva, so he'll find a remedy, so he'll go and create a remedy for them. That's not the objective for Israel. You can't push Israel out of the way. So the objective there is to uplift them or to bring them back to the straight road, to push them to fulfill their tachlis, their objective in this world, which they will have from the refuah. So therefore he has to create the remedy first. So that's why it states, Achar hadvorim o'ela. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can allow Haman to execute his plan. Haman, it states, is from Agog. Agog was Amalek, descendant of Amalek. Amalek was the grandson of Esav. We do not find by any nation in the world where HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed so much anger and so little rachmonos, compassion, than to Amalek. At the end of Parshas Bishalach, it states, after Israel came out of Egypt, Amalek came to make war with them. They were the first nation, Vayobe Amalek. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ksev zei zikaron b'sefer, b'sim b'oznei Yeshua. Write this down, that it will be in the Sefer Torah, and place this in the ears of Yeshua. Ki mocha emche es zecher Amalek, that I will totally eradicate any remembrance of Amalek, of that nation, mitachas hashemayim, from beneath the heavens. Vayome ki yod al keis ko, Kodesh Baruch Hu says that I raise my hand over my throne, milchom al Hashem ba'amolek midor dor, that I will wage war with Amalek forever. That's what's written at the end of Bishalach. If we go to the end of Kisetse, Zohar es asher osa locha Amalek. Kodesh Baruch Hu admonishes Israel, remember, don't forget. Remember what Amalek did to you b'derech b'tzeischa mimitzroim, when you were going out of Egypt. And when you come to your resting place, that means when you finally come back to Eretz Yisrael, and it's the time of the Melech HaMashiach, and you rebuild your Beis HaMikdash, Timche Ezecher Amalek, eradicate any remembrance of Amalek, Mitachas HaShemoyim, from beneath the heavens, Leitishkoch, do not forget. Even admonishes Israel, remember and do not forget. We do not find this by any other nation. Now why? What happened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's compassion and such nekoma, such revenge? We find actually this was the same by Yisrael here in the Purim story. It states in in Perek Tes, Pasuk Beis, Pasuk He, Nikalu, Nikalu Ayudim Ba'oreh Bechol Medines HaMelech, Lishleach Yod B'Makshei Rosem. Bayaku Ayuhudim B'chol Ha'ivehem Makaschere V'Hereg V'Abdon V'Yasu B'Seinehem Kirtzeinom. All of the Jews gathered together. It states this was the day which they took revenge from them. And they smited their enemies with cherev, with a sword, with herig, with killing them, and Abdon and totally destroying them. In other words, they used every possible means to totally annihilate them. Those that were the, that were their enemies. And this was the day, it states, that they were to take nekoma, to take revenge. Now why is it like that? The Gemara brings in Masechet Megillah, Daf Yud Aleph Amar Aleph, Reb Nachman, by Yaakov, Posach Lo Pischa Lahai Parshosa Mehocha. They were asking the different Tanoim Vamroim to bring a posuk, something from the Psukim, the Chumash from the Nach, that will give a description of what took place during Megillah, during Purim. So he brings from Tehillim Kuvchov Dalid. Shir Hamalas LaDavid, Lulei Hashem Shohayelonu, Bikum Aleinu Odom, Oz Chayim Bilo Unu. David wrote a Shir Hamalas, he wrote a song, if not for Hashem, when a man stood up against us, we would have been totally swallowed up. This is what the Pasuk says. If not for Hashem, when a man stood up against us, we would have been chayim bila'unu, we would have been swallowed up alive. So he said on that Pasuk, Odom v'le melech, a man and not a king. What is meant by that? And the Gemara says this refers to Haman. They refer to Haman as an Odom, as a man. And he darshans Odom v'le melech, a man and not a king. What's the Chazal? What are the sages coming to tell us? The Maral says it's coming to tell us the secret of Haman, of Amalek. What Haman wanted to do, no king would have never done this. Haman, he promoted the decree Lahashmin, Lahareg, Ulaabed, is Kola Yehudim, Minarva Zokin, Tafanoshim, Biyom Echod, Ushlalam Lavais, to totally kill, destroy, and annihilate all of the Jews, men, women, children, and the old, on one day. And to take everything that belonged to them. And here we're speaking of all of the Jews of the world, because Ahasuerus was the king of the entire world. No king would have done this. Why? Because Ein Am B'Lei Melech. You can't be a king without a nation. The strength of a king is in the nation. If you're a president of a mighty nation, then you're a great president. If you're the president of a little tiny nation somewhere in the middle of nowhere, then you're a nobody. This we know. The king's might is drawn from the people. So no king is going to destroy all of his people, or even destroy a total nation. That's a miut that diminishes his power and his prestige. If he's a good king, he'll take good care of his people. If he's a bad king, he'll exploit them. If he's worse, he'll be meshabed them. He'll enslave them. He'll persecute them. But he needs them. He needs them. So how is it that Haman comes, Lahashmi, Lahari, Galabed, is Kola Yudim, to destroy every Jewish man, woman, and child in the whole world in one day, and to take all of their belongings? This a man will do, not a king. Halavai, he would have been a king, because then the tzora would not have been that great. Paroi didn't try to kill Klal Yisrael, to destroy them. Paroi enslaved them. Nebuchadnezzar didn't try to destroy Israel. He took their Beis HaMikdash. He exiled them. He might have enslaved them, but he didn't destroy them. They were kings. Melech Yovan, the Greeks, they didn't even exile us. They were interested in us becoming part of the Greek Empire to strengthen the crown. They never tried to destroy us. Even Rome, Titus Arosho, sent us into exile, took us as slaves, but didn't destroy us. Haman was different. That's why he darshaned. And this is what David HaMelech meant, Bikum Aleinu Odom. If not for Hashem, when the man stood up against us, we would have been swallowed up alive. Odom, because he was an Odom Velei Melech. He was a man. He was not a king. And this is what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that on Purim, we have to rejoice even more than on Pesach when we went out of Mitzrayim. Because when we were freed from Egypt, it was Me'abdus L'Cherus. It was from slavery to freedom. By Purim, it was Mimavis L'Chaim. It was from death to life. So it's even a greater degree of rejoicing. The Gemara says. Now comes a question. All right, we've defined what David HaMelech meant, who saw this, and what the Gemara means, who saw this. But how do we define Haman? We'd have to ask psychologists. What made this person tick? We can understand the king. He wants for himself. But what got into Haman's head? And this that it says that he had a fight with Mordechai and therefore he decided to destroy all of the Jews in the world. You can't take that in a simple sense. This you could pass off on a child. But he's going to wage war against millions and millions and millions of Jews because he had a personal fight with one. The same question we have on Hitler, Yimach Shemai. Because Hitler also, he was not interested in enslaving the Jews. He was not interested in exploiting the Jews. He wanted the Jews killed. Every one of them. He even wanted more. Even those that we do not consider Jewish. If they had 1/8 or 1/16 or 1/32% of Jewish blood, he wanted them killed. What made him tick? It was personal, because he had a personal grudge against the Jews, so therefore he waged war against every Jew in the world. It's also a fairy tale. It wasn't a personal fight at all. You have a personal fight with someone that you have a personal grudge with. He was killing Jews that he never met in his life and he'll never see in his life. But there was a similarity. There was one difference. How bad Hitler was, you can see how more evil are the potential of Haman. Because Hitler had the power over a few countries. Haman had not only the ear of the king, the tabasa melech, the ring of the king, the royals, ring where he gave him carte blanche to write anything he wanted. He had the power over every country in the world and every Jew in the world. And the Chazal tell us this was the only time in history. That's why Purim is such an important Yom Tov. The only time in history that every Jew in the world without exception had faced physical destruction. Hitler was a small offshoot of Haman. But the source was Haman. Now, let's go back to our psychological analysis of Haman. You know, you have serial killers. We hear a lot about them. But nothing like this. And what would he gain from it? Not only he gained nothing, but he paid the king for it. He paid for it. Incidentally, that there were a number of times during the Second World War, especially near the end, when there were attempted assassinations on Hitler's life by his close circle. And the reason for this is because they couldn't understand him either. They said, the man has gone mad. Because Hitler, he says, instead of concentrating on winning the war, and at that time they were starting to lose the war, he says, the Meshuggener, the madman, is concentrating on killing Jews. And they said, what, we're interested in killing Jews, we want to win the war. And he was doing things contrary to military objectives. So what was this? Now actually, killing Jews for the purpose of killing them goes deeper. Because the Jew is not like another nation. As mentioned, the Jew represents the tikkun olam, the perfection of the world. The Jew represents what is good and right in this world. The Jew represents the conscience of the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu implanted in mankind. The Jew represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I have to have a place in this world. And I need a nation or everyone to accept it. If not, then I don't need the world. Israel brought his presence into the world through his Torah and his 613 mitzvahs. And this is why the sages tell us, when you stand up against Israel, you're not standing up against Israel. You're standing up against everything that's good in the world. And you're standing up against HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Haman was not interested in killing Jews. He was interested in killing God. Hitler was not interested in killing Jews. He was interested in killing God. And he knew, as long as there's Jews in the world, that I'm not the king. There's someone else the king. And this is what was from Haman. And this is why the Gemara tells us that if we try to find in the world, everything has to have a source. If we try to find a source for that poison, the source would be the Eitz Hadas Tevara. It would be the tree in Gan Eden that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the first man and woman not to eat from. And the serpent came and told them to eat. The source of Haman's strength would be derived from that tree and the serpent. The Chazal could find no other source for it. In other words, this was such of the ultimate evil that the only source for such evil in the world the sages could find would be from the tree and the serpent. And what was the tree? B'yayim ha'chol chai meis tomus. I made this world for life, not for death. Therefore I command you not to eat from it. The day you eat, you will bring death to the world. Death is the ultimate antithesis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation. The serpent wanted to overthrow the Almighty's kingship. Through that, they utilized that power of that tree, and they brought death to a world. This is where Haman drew his strength from. And Esther later on refers to Haman. This is Haman, Ish Oyev, who's the enemy, the Ra, the ultimate of evil. Evil has many, many levels, just as righteousness has many, many levels. The bottom of the rung is evil for the sake of evil. And this was Haman. And this came from the Eitz. So there was no personal grudges. No. This, no. That was just the catalyst. But he wanted to eradicate Israel and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And an offshoot that came from him later on is Hitler. With this, you will have a very good size up of what went on in Hitler's mind, where killing Jews was more important to him than destroying his enemy, because the greatest enemy of his was the Jew, because the Jew represents what is good and upright and pure. And he was the Nochush, the serpent, the ultimate of evil. Now, we come to these psukim we read. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, other nations in the world I might be able to tolerate, but this nation, I don't want them here. I will have a milchoma dor. This nation I will have a war with forever. And don't forget what they've done to you. Since HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us don't forget, you only tell someone don't forget on things that he's liable to forget. A person is going to buy a car, you don't tell him don't forget to buy the car. He goes to the grocery shop to buy 12, 13, 15, 16, 17 items. You tell him, don't forget that, don't forget this. What's HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying? Zocher le'tishkach. Remember and don't forget. Evidently, Amalek has the power to make us forget. Yeah, why not? It wasn't so bad. We'll forgive him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't forget. And I want them totally eradicated from this world. Mida kemeneged mida, like they wanted to eradicate me. You and me. So from here, we see, we get an insight into Haman, into a source, and into the enormous sakona danger that Klal Yisrael was, and then the great Yeshua, what came out from it. Now, after the whole salvation, the whole Yeshua, Esther and Mordechai, who realized what had happened, more than anyone else, because they were the center of it, they went to the Sanhedrin Agdola, the great Sanhedrin, and they said something like, this is not common. It's not even rare. It's the first time in ever in the history of the world something like this has happened. And therefore, we want you to write into law, into Torah law, that Purim is something that must be kept by Klal Yisrael forever. First they enacted for 1 year, then they said forever. That we should never forget what kind of danger we were in, and who our enemy was, and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us. So it should be enacted forever. And with mitzvahs. They enacted four mitzvahs. The reading of the Megillah, that we can understand why. Twice, at night and day. A yantif, a simcha, where we should have a beautiful feast and much rejoicing. That we can understand why. And then they enacted two other mitzvahs, which are somewhat strange. Matonis levionim, the giving of tzedakah to the poor, and mishleach manos ish l'rehu, the giving of gifts, one to his fellow man. This is a little strange. Firstly, one mitzvah is tzedakah and the other is chesed. These are the mitzvahs that we already have. Mitzvah chesed is a mitzvah min haTorah. We're obligated to fulfill that all of the time. Mitzvah tzedakah is a mitzvah min haTorah. We're obligated to fulfill that all of the time. So what, they have to go to the Sanhedrin to tell, what, to tell a Jew to give tzedakah? It's a mitzvah to give tzedakah and chesed. Now the answer to that is, but that's not going to explain anything to us, is they want the Sanhedrin to enact that on this day you must give tzedakah and you must give gifts to your friends. Okay, good. Why? What's that got to do with Purim? It has to do with any day, and doesn't seem to have to do with Purim any more than any other day. So what's the reasons for that? The simple reason would be, the sages tell us that tzedakah is rachamim. When you give tzedakah, that's compassion, because the mitzvah of tzedakah is to give someone in need. Chesed, gemilas chesed is not rachamim. Chesed is bein laniyim bein lashirim. We do that for the poor and for the wealthy. Chesed is doing, showing goodness and friendship and love to others, even if they're not poor. So these are two separate levels, chesed and tzedakah and rachamim. We are obligated to walk in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yalachtu bidrochav, acherei Hashem elokecha teilechu. This is one of the Taryag 613 mitzvahs. On this day, we saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways. We're obligated to emulate His ways, and therefore we're obligated to study His ways. On this day, we saw His ways of rachamim and chesed. What was the rachamim? That He saved us from the decree of Haman. What was the chesed? Not only did He save us from the decree of Haman, but He removed the danger and He turned over everything where we conquered our enemies. We were on top and Haman and his people were on the bottom. For example, He could have saved us, and Haman still could have been on top, except we would have annulled the decree. Now, Haman wanted to hang Mordechai. Haman was hung. His 10 sons were hung. We killed many, many thousands of Haman's henchmen. Mordechai rose to great heights, where he became the viceroy, the Mishnah Melech of the greatest, most powerful king in the world. The base Haman, the palace of Haman, was given to Mordechai. Nafal pachad Yehudim aleihem. The fear of the Jews went throughout the whole world. Rabbi me'amotz mishadim. Many people now wanted to become Jews. Ish Mordechai holech v'godl me'ayid. The name of Mordechai went out through the whole world. That's why in the Megillah it states v'na'apeichu. Behema yishlatu ba'iveihem, b'seineihem. It was turned over, achidish asher ne'apach. It was a month, not only of a salvation, but ne'apach was totally turned over. That was chesed. So, on this day, in these days, we saw the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's quality of compassion and of chesed. And we have to study his ways and we have to follow his ways. So the compassion is stoko and the chesed is gifts. Therefore they said on this day, in particular, we must give tzedakah to the poor and gifts to our friends. That would be the simple reason, but there's a deeper reason. Very deep reason. This is from the Maharal Prague. And he says as follows. The first principle is Kuchi Brichu Yisrael Chathu. There's a very, very strong bond between Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's inseparable. B'ni B'cheiri Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that Yisrael is my son, my firstborn. We are inseparable. What happens to Yisrael happens to Hashem. What happens to Hashem happens to Yisrael. If there is a division in a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a division in Yisrael. If there's a division in Yisrael, there's a division in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amalek wanted, as we mentioned, to destroy Yisrael, but he had deeper thoughts. Wanted to destroy HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, he testified. He said at the end of Bishalach, Ki yod al keis ko, my hand is raised over my throne. And I swear by my name. Now Hashem's throne is misspelled in the Torah. Instead of being spelled Chof Samach Aleph, it's spelled only Chof Samach. It's a misspelling. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is also misspelled. Instead of being spelled with fullness, the Yud and the Hey and the Vav and the Hey, it's only spelled Yud Hey. And the sages ask, what's happened? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, my hand is over my throne that I swear that as long as Amalek is in the world, my throne is divided and my name is divided. My throne is incomplete and my name is incomplete. I and Amalek cannot exist in the same world. I am the ultimate of truth and goodness. Haman and his type, Hitler and his type, they are the ultimate of evil. It's like the serpent. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the serpent, there's not room for me and you in this world. And he cut off the legs of the serpent and made him crawl on his belly. The serpent was a king. He used to walk tall and high. And he said, Oru atomi kol chayas. You'll be hated and cursed. And he banished him from the world. That's why the serpent goes and crawls on the side. There's no one that likes a serpent. Man, woman, or child, or animal. He says, there's not room for both of us. You can't have fire and water together. You can't have the ultimate of evil and the ultimate of goodness together. This is what he said on Amalek. As long as they're present, I'm incomplete. My name is not complete, and my throne is not complete. It says, Bohoye bayom ahu, Yashem echod ushma echod. On that day, when the Melech HaMashiach will come and Amalek will be destroyed and annihilated, then my name, and there it's written full, my name and my throne will be complete. Haman's power is to divide and destroy the name of Hashem and his throne. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Klal Yisrael, has the power to bring out the fullness of the name of Hashem. That's by uniting themselves. When they are united, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is united. If they are divided, then Hashem is divided. That's why it states, Vayhi b'shurim melech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when is he a king? When the Rosh Am, when all of Yisrael, Shiftei Kol, all of the Shvotim are together. They have to be all together. If there's a Chiluk HaMachlekes in Yisrael, you should know then the name is not complete. Unfortunately, people don't understand that today. The sages do. Godel HaMachlekes. That when there's machlekes, when there's division in Israel, that divides HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that gives strength to Amalek. When there's Ichud, when Klal Yisrael is one, then Hashem is one, and that neutralizes or annihilates Amalek. The mitzvahs of Tzedakah and the mitzvahs of Chesed, both of them, are because Israel is one. By Tzedakah, it states, why should you give Tzedakah? Why should you give your money to someone else, to another Jew? The Torah says explicitly, Ki Ochichohu, because he's your brother. And the Rambam says that's why. Because he's your brother, that's why you're obligated to give your money to him. He says, one brother won't give to another. All of Israel are brothers. So it's built on the Akdus, on the fact that Israel is united like one. Chesed is certainly built on Akdus. Mora brings in Shabbos, Anesin matona lechaveirei tzorach lehidiyai. If you give Tzedakah, there the idea is to help support the other person. You don't have to tell them who it's coming from. Many times it's better you don't. But if you give a gift, there the purpose is not to support him, that's even to a wealthy person. There the purpose is for reus, the avo, for love and friendship. There it states you must tell him who it's from, otherwise you defeat the purpose, what the gift is. So all of this creates and strengthens the Achdus, the oneness of Yisrael. On this day, Mordechai and Esther saw, this was the day when Amalek was defeated. This came from the Achdus of Yisrael, because Kol Yisrael came together as one. And since they came together as one, they were able to destroy Amalek, where their power is to divide. Therefore they said, every year on this day, you must come together as one. And they asked to enact the mitzvahs, a special mitzvah of Tzedakah, Matonos Levyonim, and a special mitzvah of Monos Lereihu, to give gifts to your fellow man. The Vilna Gaon adds on that. He says it's interesting because it states whenever Mordechai and Esther wanted to fight against this decree, consistently it writes, for example, Lech Kenais es kol Yehudim. When it came to fast for 3 days, Esther and Mordechai said, go and gather all of the Jews that they should be mispalo and fast. So they were telling us something. If we can get all of the Jews together, we will be successful. Otherwise, we will not be successful. Leich kenos es kol ha-yehudim anim tzu bishushan. Further, it states, Nikahalu Ayuhudim. The Jews gathered all together to fight. Vishar Hayuhudim Nikahalu. consistently it says they gathered all together because they knew that's where their strength lies, in all of them, not just in part of them. And then the Gaon goes further. In Perek Tes, Pasuk Tes Zayin, it states, Nikalu, they gathered, Ve'omod al nafshom, and they stood to defend their lives. There's a grammatical error here, seemingly, because Nikalu means they gathered, Omod means he stood, singular. Why? To tell us, Omod, they stood as one man. When they came to fight against Haman, they all gathered, but they stood as one man. And then we see again. It states, "V'kibel ha'yehudim es asher hechelu la'asos." The Jews accepted what they originally started to do. This was in regards to the mitzvahs and the commands of Haman and Mordechai and Esther and the Torah. It says, which they did, but then it says, "Kibel," singular. He accepted. Kulam kiblo ke'echot. They all accepted as one person. So this is the strength of Klal Yisrael. And this is the strength of Klal Yisrael which defeats Amalek. Because Amalek's strength is to divide the name of Hashem and the throne of Hashem and to Yisrael. And therefore, they were masakim, they enacted these mitzvahs on Purim. The Rambam concludes. The Rambam concludes his Hilchos Purim by telling us he says to show you how important this event was. Calls Sifrei Anavim, the Cholak Suvim Asidim Libotli Mesa Mashiach. There's a dispute here, but this is how the Rambam learns. We'll mention the Ravid in a minute. All of the Sifrei Anavim, all of the books of the prophets, and everything that was written, he says, we won't need them after the Mashiach. These are prophecies that had to do with the tzoras of the past. And the Gemara tells us that ultimately will be forgotten the tzoras of the past. So what do we need them for? So he says that will all be fall to the wayside when the Melech HaMashiach comes. With one exception, Chutz Memegillas Esther. Esther will always be there. Marehigi kayemes kechamisha chum sheteira ukehil hesheltere shebal peh. And that will be the same, not as the books of the prophets, but as the five books of Moshe, Chamishum Chum Sheteira, the five books of Moshe, and the whole Talmud, the Torah Shel Bal Peh. She'enam b'teilin la'elam will never be bottled, will never cease. And even though she calls Zichrei Natzoros Yibotel, she nemar nishkechu hatzoros harishenis v'chinistra me'enai, and even though we are promised that all of the tzoros will be forgotten, we won't have to remember tzoros anymore. It's a thing of the past. You may Purim lay votlu. The days of Purim will never be forgotten. As it states in the Megillah Esther, me may Purim elu lo yavru mitecha yehudim, the zichrom lo yosuf mizarom. The days of Purim will never pass by. The days from the Jews and their remembrance will never cease from their seed. Forever it will be remembered. The Ravid comes along and he says, no, it doesn't mean that the Sforim of the Nevi'im will be gone. We need all of the books of the prophets of the Sforim and the Nevi'im because there's a wealth that we can learn from. What it means, though, is that we won't have to read from them anymore on Tisha B'Av. On Tisha B'Av we read Echo. We won't have to do that anymore. Another time we might read another. We won't have to do that anymore because there'll be no more Tisha B'Avs. There'll be no more such things. You might say, therefore, we won't have to read about Megillas Esther also then. No. Afilo yivotlu shar sforim milikreis behem. Even if there'll come a time when we will not have to read publicly from all of the other episodes of history that the Jews went through, But the Megillah Leitivotel Milikres B'tzibur. Megillah's Esther, even after the Melech HaMashiach comes, there'll still be Purim, and will still be the mitzvah to read Megillah's Esther. As it states in the Megillah, Mei Purim Ha'ele LaYavru Mitech HaYudim. The days of Purim will never cease from the Jews. Zichram LaYosu Mizarum. And their seed will never cease from the seed. Because it was such a great miracle, although it was totally concealed, but it was so great of a miracle and so great of a salvation, in view of what the danger was. It was the danger from the father of all the Hitlers of history. And not one was hurt. Everyone came out unscathed. Not unfortunately like what happened during the Holocaust. But everyone. That incidentally was a victory, the Holocaust. People look at it as a defeat. It was a total victory. It wasn't a war, a personal war between two people. It was a war between Hitler and Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And today Hitler lies in rot. And his Third Reich, which he said would last for 1,000 years, lasted for 5 years and was turned into rubble. And Klal Yisrael was flourishing. The tragedy there was the cost of it, the cost of the victory. But it was a victory. But this was not one was hurt. Everyone came out unscathed. And that's why Klal Yisrael from here came to such a level that it states, "La'ihudim ha'isa oda v'simcha v'sosin v'kor." They came to new levels in Torah that they didn't have before. They came to new levels in mitzvahs that they didn't have before. And that's why the Ravid says, when the Melech HaMashiach comes, what do we need the past source for? What do we need all of that for? We don't need it. We go forward. But Purim will keep. And there'll still be a mitzvah to read the Megillah Esther every Purim. We should be zeicher to experience more miracles from HaKadosh Baruch Hu like we experienced on Purim. A Freilich HaPurim to everyone.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226 Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.